Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. If you're looking to stock a mixtape with great classical music, you might turn to Mozart or Beethoven. For a less obvious choice, consider Franz Josef Haydn. Sure, he's never earned a Hollywood biopic like Mozart, nor was he saluted in a classic rock song like Beethoven. Even as we mark the 200th anniversary of Haydn's death this year, we often hear about what he inspired instead of what he actually wrote. But according to our next guests, Haydn shouldn't be disregarded as a poor man's Mozart. Joining us is this group, the Haydn Trio Eisenstadt, which is one of Europe's premier piano trios, and also with us, our old friend Fred Plotkin, author of the books Classical Music 101 and Opera 101 and many others. And Fred, welcome back.
Thank you, John. Good to be here.
If you were making a mixtape, would Haydn take pride of place on that sequence?
He would be
sequence?
The first, because if I wanted someone to fall in love with classical music, I would pick the music that made me fall in love with classical music. And the very first piece that got me over was the trumpet concerto. I was a little kid, and I remember it was playing on the radio, and I just got up and started dancing the way they do now to Beyoncé, I did to the trumpet concerto. And
so when Wynton Marsalis made that early classical recording of his and chose the Haydn trumpet concerto, that was actually a pretty savvy choice on his
part. It was a very savvy choice, because how do you describe a great composer? It's someone whose voice is unmistakable. It's someone who reaches us on a visceral level that we cannot analyze. Because I can take apart Haydn, but I would rather just say, doesn't this really grab you?
So if it grabs people, why is he underrated?
I think he's underrated because he was born too soon. He was born in 1732, the same year as George Washington, and he lived out in the country, in effect. He was born in Lower Austria and moved to Vienna to become a choir boy and got his musical training with the choir boys, but then left town again and moved to lovely Eisenstadt, which is a beautiful place, and that's where the Esterházys lived. And he became their court composer and lived there from 1761 to 1790, making the occasional visit to Vienna. But he was productive there, and no one else got to really hear his music as much as Mozart, who toured his music everywhere.
Right. Well, Mozart actually dedicated a whole set of his string quartets to Haydn.
From 1785. Haydn recognized in Mozart, he was very generous, that this was the genius and said so. So Haydn didn't help himself that way. Hmm. Haydn was further damaged by the fact that a few years later he got a young pupil named Ludwig von Beethoven, who in effect harumphed and said, I have nothing to learn from him. And then in the 19th century, a lot of the sort of frumpy Wagnerians would dismiss anyone who had humor. And Haydn, among his many characteristics, it's not that he was just comical, had humor, which is, humor is harder to do than tragedy.
Is there an analogy here to, you know, the Oscar for Best Movie, how it almost never goes to a comedy?
Absolutely so, because we can't really appreciate the lightness that's required of comedy. We know when we go to a comedy and it's bad. But we don't recognize how talented the comedians are when they do something good and funny.
So it's not that we're talking about, you know, PDQ Bach, you know, Peter Schickele
right.
kind of funny. But to give an example, the Surprise Symphony by Haydn. You know, early 21st century, this piece goes by and nobody bats an eye. But in the late 18th century, to hear this soft, gently plodding piece mm-hmm. of music and then suddenly,
to wake people up.
Right.
Well, similarly, there's Symphony number 45 is called Les Adieux, the Farewell. And what he did with that, the musicians wanted to go home and they were complaining about they've been playing too long and, you know, musicians don't change in some ways. And so he wrote a symphony in which one by one a musician would put his instrument down and leave.
Right, so it's a big fade out.
It's a big fade out. It's the biggest fade out in all of music. but done with gentle humor. And I think in our loud times, we don't know what gentle humor is anymore.
Well, here's just a little bit of the Surprise Symphony. And, you know, you kind of have to take it on faith that back in the day, this would genuinely have been a surprise and a pretty funny one. That's a little bit of Haydn's Symphony No. 94, and for that reason, that big bang that you just heard, that's called the Surprise Symphony, an example of Haydn's sense of humor. Musicians don't necessarily treat Haydn as a second-class composer, do they? I mean,
he's called Papa Haydn.
Yeah.
And by the way, you said that there could be no good biopic done of Haydn. There absolutely could. He had an illegitimate child with an Italian opera singer. He had a lot of relationships. He was a great, he loved wine. He really knew wine, and he got very into it. He had an herb garden in his house, and when he needed inspiration, he'd go to
Fred,
the herb garden.
Fred.
Lots of
herb
lots.
Garden, like
no,
wine.
No, but he really
what
did.
Kind of Hollywood film are you making here?
No, he would, no, what I mean is that he was much more of a pleasure activist than we ever would think. And because he comes down as being this guy in a wig and very formal and stuffy, and he was a very sophisticated person who just lived out in the country and never got attention.
Fred Plotkin is author of numerous books, including Italy for the Gourmet Traveler and Opera 101. The Haydn Trio Eisenstadt is here with us as well. Harald Kosick at our piano, Hannes Gradvoll playing the cello, Verena Sturz playing the violin. Harald, you're going to play a little bit of the Haydn Trio in C major for us today. What should we be listening? Are there elements of humor in this piece?
Well, yes, I would say it's a very open piece, very open-minded, a lot of good ideas, very positive ideas. It's a piece with a lot of other music, humor, and lots of notes.
A lot of notes. Let's hear some of those notes. The first movement of Haydn's Trio in C major, played live in our studio by the Haydn Trio Eisenstadt.
Thank you.
The first movement of the Haydn Piano Trio in C major, the Allegro movement played live in our soundcheck studio by the Haydn Trio Eisenstadt in New York from Austria. They're actually performing a sold-out show tonight at the Austrian Cultural Forum, playing lots of Haydn in the bicentennial year, the 200th anniversary of Haydn's death. Author Fred Plotkin with us as well, and Fred's thesis is that Haydn is underrated. Is Haydn simply too well-behaved? And you can take that to mean Haydn the man or Haydn the music.
Well, let's start with Haydn the music. I think that Harold used a perfect word just now when he described the music as positive. That really struck a chord with me because it is. And I think composers who followed all have their own tones, their own notes. Janáček, who I adore, is not positive. But there are composers who simply have a voice that inspires well-being. But if we look as musicians at the craft of this music, it's extraordinary too. He wrote 104 to 107 symphonies and 24 operas. Gotham Chamber Opera did one earlier this year called The Deserted Island. And all of this is waiting to be rediscovered. If we compare him to Mozart, compare him to Beethoven, that's not fair. He was the forerunner.
Well, he's considered the father of the modern symphony and of the modern string quartet.
Exactly so.
But as you say, he wrote at least 104 symphonies. There are over 80 string quartets. Harold, there are over 50 piano sonatas. I don't know how many piano trios there are. Is that a problem? Is there just too much Haydn out there? Is it hard to find the really great works?
No, I don't think so. I think the basic problem for many musicians is that it's so hard to perform Haydn on stage in the right way. That's
why
the
is
important
that?
Thing. Because there's not so much written in the music, not so much dynamic things. You have to invent all these things by yourself. You have to have a very special feeling for this music. Otherwise, it very often sounds quite boring, I have to say.
So you have to make decisions about how loudly, phrasing, dynamics, things like
yes,
that?
Yes, there are only some rules, but most of the things have to be invented by the musicians.
Now, Haydn would occasionally give you clues, like this next piece you're going to play for us is called Presto in the German Style. This is the finale of the trio in E-flat major. What does in the German style mean?
Well, he composed this after his first time in London, I think, and probably the people there asked him, what is the German style for you? You come from the German-styled area, because also Austrian music this time was called the German style, and he probably composed this for the English people to show them this is the German style.
You want to play that for us?
Yes, please.
Once again, the Haydn Trio Eisenstadt performing this excerpt from the Haydn Trio in E-flat major.
Thank you.
That is more music by Haydn, played by the Haydn Trio Eisenstadt from Austria here in our New York studio. The trio in E-flat major, the finale, is marked presto, meaning very fast, and further marked in the German style. And once again, Harald Kosick at our piano, Hannes Gradvoll, the cello, Verena Sturz, the violin, the Haydn Trio Eisenstadt touring the world in this 200th anniversary year of Haydn's death, playing Haydn's music, including here in our soundcheck studio with author Fred Plotkin. And Fred, to come back to the idea of Haydn being underrated, according to the League of American Orchestras, Haydn is the 13th most played composer on orchestral concerts. That's not too shabby. I mean, there have been thousands of...
But I would love to see what they play. It's probably a mix of a few of the big pieces. One piece I was thinking during this performance that I would add to my mixtape, I wouldn't get any romantic interest for it, but is Haydn's Mass in Time of War, which I heard earlier this year by the Collegiate Chorale. It was a fantastic performance. It's one of those things that is both insightful about war, but it's also tries to be healing about war. It's one of those pieces like Britain's War Requiem that we can approach on many, many levels. And Napoleon was very impressed by that piece. We know that Beethoven initially wrote Eroica for Napoleon and then canceled his name.
Napoleon, was the Eroica Symphony.
Right. Napoleon really liked Haydn, and when there was a siege in Vienna, Napoleon insisted that the house where the dying Haydn lived be protected by French troops so that he would not be disturbed.
Wow.
Yeah, because Haydn died during a French siege of Vienna. And
Napoleon knew this.
That's
the house. That's where he is.
Yes,
he's dying.
Said,
leave the guy be.
Protect Haydn. And part of that relates to the Mass in Time of War, which apparently touched Napoleon as well. It's a piece that deserves to be revisited and brought forth at national occasions.
And when better than during the 200th anniversary of Haydn's death, which is this year. Fred Plotkin is the author of, among other books, Classical Music 101 and Opera 101, The Haydn Trio Eisenstadt, a sold-out performance tonight at the Austrian Cultural Forum. Thank you all for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you.
And that'll do it for today's show. Tomorrow, our Soundcheck SmackDown debate tackles the growing trend of bands playing an entire album start to finish in concert. And another installment in the WNYC radio series, The Jazz Loft Project. That's tomorrow. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. Our engineer today, Paul Schneider. The program produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer. Our executive producer is Gisele Regatow, and we had help today from Pushkar Oja. I'm John Schaefer. Be with us again at this time tomorrow for the next Soundcheck here at 93.9 FM.